right. Good morning, everybody. A couple of things for you. Sextember is coming. Sextember is, tell your neighbor, Sextember is coming. Okay? That means next week we kick off something very, very serious that we are going to be tackling. So make sure that you're with us and that you're joined with us and ready for that tremendous series that's getting ready to take place. I also just want to make just a kind of a housekeeping announcement just for the Lynn folks so that you'll be aware, for the Revere folks, just to be clear, starting the Sunday after Labor Day weekend, which is Sunday, September 8th, our Revere location is changing its service times. Right now it's 8:30 and 10. It'll be moving to match our times, 9:45 and 11. So 9:45 and 11 in Revere starting September 8th. And the reason, the driver behind this is very simple. Nobody in Revere is awake at 8:30 in the morning, okay? Okay. So we just want to give people a chance to wake up. And so that's what's going on over there, just so you're aware. So last week, we killed Goliath the giant. That was great. It was a great, great time killing Goliath the giant. We got the foundation laid, and I just want to see if you remember what we talked about last week. So let me ask you, who are you?
A child of God.
Child of God. And what do you do? Who are you?
A child of God.
What do you do?
A child.
All right. You are a child of God, and the things you do are you kill giants. What kind of giants do we kill? We kill giants of fear. Giants of addiction, giants of oppression, giants of poverty, giants of racism, giants of compromise, giants of depression, giants of impurity, giants of ignorance. There's all kinds of giants that we can kill, and that's just a few of them. Today we are jumping back into the story, 2 Samuel chapter 1, several years after David killed Goliath. Once again, the Philistines, who are the enemies, were at war with Israel, and when David and his men were in the thick of battle, David became weak and exhausted. Somebody say, weak and exhausted. Ishbi-Benob was a descendant of the giants. His bronze spearhead weighed more than 7 pounds. He was armed with a new sword. He had cornered David and was about to kill him. No, this is not a good scene. This is a bad moment. Ishbi-Benob, it turns out, is another giant. We thought we took care of all the giants with Goliath, but no, it turns out Goliath had kids. Giant kids. Who knew that was a thing? So this guy's probably the son of Goliath, and he's coming back for revenge against David and the people of Israel. And Ishbi-Benob is about to kill David. It says in the text, once again, Philistines were at war with Israel. So that's the context. There's a battle taking place. Think movie battle, old time a battle taking place. And so we've now fast-forwarded many years. Last week, David was just a teenager. Just a teenager that killed a giant named Goliath. Now, David is the legendary King David. He was a seasoned warrior. He was a renowned giant killer. He is the favored and anointed one. He's the king of the people of God. The people of Israel sing songs about this king. They love this king. They tell stories of his exploits. He is their great national savior. He is at the top of his game. He's at the top of his career. And I want you to catch this today. Just because you make it to the top, just because you accomplish all your goals in life, just because you got a year or two or three under your belt, just because you killed a giant last year or last week, does not mean that you get to be done fighting. One of the most common errors, one of the most common mistakes that people make is they assume that because they already won a couple of victories that they don't have to fight anymore. They assume that because they hit their goals, they assume that because they got to the place where they wanted to be, that they're done fighting. They assume that they got to the very top of their career, the top of their game, the top of whatever they wanted to be at, that they can let their guard down. But the truth is, when you hit next levels, you get next devils. And just because you made significant progress, that does not mean that the fight is over. You can let your guard down, but when you do, giants will show up. And I guarantee you that when you get to the top, there are giants waiting for you. When you hit your goals, there's another giant waiting for you. It won't be Goliath, because you already killed Goliath, but it will be Ishbi. Ishbi-Benob was a descendant of the giants. His bronze spearhead weighed more than 7 pounds. He was armed with a new sword. He had cornered David and was about to kill him. The reality is that in life, you will have to face many different kinds of giants. You might have killed Goliath last year, but now you have to face the new one, Ishbi-Benob. Sometimes those giants have different names, but they might look a little similar to you. They might have similar tactics, and they might have similar weaknesses. I wonder if David, on the battlefield, once he was cornered, I wonder if David thought, man, I'm so weak and exhausted. Am I hallucinating? Imagine Ishbi-Benob, another giant, comes in to attack him. Looks a little bit like his dad, Goliath. I wonder if David thought, didn't I kill you already? Didn't I cut off your head and hold it up? Just because it looks like the same battle from the past doesn't mean it is the same battle. It might be similar, but it's a different giant. Fighting a new giant does not mean, listen carefully, it does not mean you didn't win before. You got victory over Goliath back in the day, that was real. Taking on a new giant might mean one of two things. It might mean that you're taking new territory in your life. You're advancing. You're growing. You're getting to the next place. You're actually growing up. You're maturing. Good things are happening, but the giants are still going to be there. So it might mean you're taking new territory. Or, on the flip side, it could mean that you've slipped back and you're now back in a place where you're not supposed to be. Either way, you've got to fight the giant. Giants show up when you're at the top. But you know when giants really, really love to show up? Giants love to show up when you're exhausted. Verse 15 says, David became weak and exhausted. Anybody in the room ever been exhausted? Anybody exhausted before you came in today? You're like, woo, I'm right there with you, Pastor Kurt. People get exhausted for a lot of reasons. If you're exhausted today and the person next to you is exhausted, I bet you're exhausted for different reasons. There's a lot of ways to be exhausted. You could be physically exhausted, like you're just physically out of steam. You had an extended day or an extended long work week. Maybe you're physically exhausted just because you're a parent. Maybe you're physically exhausted because you're a single parent. Can I get an amen? Yeah. When you are physically exhausted, watch out for giants. Because giants are cowards. They come after you in your weakest moments. You can also be emotionally exhausted. You've been giving to other people, you've been serving, you've been trying to share the load that somebody else is carrying, and it burdens you down, it weighs you down, you're exhausted. Maybe you had the loss of a family member or tragedy. Maybe it's the loss of a friend. Maybe it's the loss of a dream, disappointment. And you are simply emotionally fried. You are exhausted. And at that moment, when you are emotionally at your lowest point, emotionally at your weakest point, watch out for giants. Because giants are cowards and they will be waiting. You can be physically exhausted, you can be emotionally exhausted, you can also be spiritually exhausted. I understand what being spiritually exhausted is like. Don't try to talk to me about anything serious after the third service on a Sunday morning. You're like, Pastor Kurt, I actually need some good advice. Don't talk to me after the third service. You'll get some weird advice after that. I'm just spiritually drained. But Pastor Chris said so. Yeah. There are some spiritual moments in your life that you have that are refreshing and encouraging, and you're ready. You're going to go take on as many giants as come your way. But there are other spiritual moments in your life when you've been fighting for your life spiritually. And you are hanging on. You're at the end of the rope. You're holding on. Much like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he went to the cross, he said this. He said, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death." That's exhausted. And there are moments in your life when you should be battling spiritually. And sometimes in those moments, you will feel crushed with grief to the point of death. And you can barely take care of yourself. And you stumble into church. And you are exhausted. And when you are exhausted, watch out for giants, because they're coming. You may have gotten Goliath before, but Ishbi's on his way. Turns out, there's another way you can be exhausted. Some of you are just exhausted listening to this right now. I thought I was doing pretty good before, but now I'm exhausted. You can be relationally exhausted. Oh, this is a good one. Some people can suck the life right out of you. You don't need to say any names, okay? Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Some people can suck the life out of you. You don't even have to talk to them. You don't have to see them. I mean, you can just sense them, and it just sucks the life right out of you. You know, sometimes you're in a relationship, and you need to have a complicated conversation. Maybe it's a difficult relationship scenario that you need to navigate. You start the conversation, and it doesn't go as you hoped. And it kicks you, and you're exhausted, and you're weak. When you are relationally exhausted, friends, listen carefully. Watch out for giants, because they're coming. Because at the exact moment when you are exhausted is that exact moment when that sexy little carrot will show up and ask you to take a bite. And if you are not on the lookout, before you know it, you will be carrot stew. Let's be clear. David is worn out and exhausted. And when you are worn out and exhausted, that's the danger zone. That's the danger. That's the red line on your car. You see, exhaustion is different for every single person. My exhaustion point is different than yours, or yours. Everybody has a slightly different way that works in their life. But whenever you get to that red zone, that exhaustion point, you are in a danger zone. And when you get to the danger zone, you need to replenish yourself. It's like your life is a tea kettle or a teapot. And you need to replenish the water in your teapot. If you keep the teapot on the fire for too long, all the water will turn to steam and run out, and your pot, if it stays on the fire, will be destroyed. I know this because I have done this. You don't want the pot of your life to be destroyed. You've got to replenish yourself. Keep something going on to the inside while stuff is going out. Galatians chapter 6 says, let's not get tired. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. Can I tell you, I've been tired of doing what is good. The reality is when you're doing good, you do grow tired. And it's hard to not get frustrated and exhausted in the face of so much injustice in the city or in the world. And the struggle is very real. And the verse here is really a warning. It's saying, hey, when you get tired of doing good and you want to give in, or give up, check yourself. Check yourself. Get some fuel back in your tank. Refill, replenish, get some water into your teapot of your life, because you should not grow tired in doing good. You have run out of juice. Isaiah chapter 40, one of the great passages in Scripture, says even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall into exhaustion. It is the nature of being human to get exhausted, but it is the nature of giants to show up when you are exhausted. Giants are just waiting. So what do you do when it's 6:30 a.m. and you're already on your fourth cup of coffee? And you're not going to go to bed till midnight or after. Everybody you see or talk to annoys you. You start to put things on Facebook that ought not to be said. Your teapot is empty. You know you're exhausted. And so do your giants. What do? You keep on reading verse 31. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You trust in the Lord. When you have empty teapot moments, when you are out of fuel, when you are out of gas, when you are out of water, whatever you're out of, those are the moments when you absolutely must, with all the remaining strength you have, run to Jesus. Go be with Jesus. Let Jesus refill you. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Begin to praise and worship God. Begin to trust and rest in the presence of Christ. That is how you are replenished and refueled. And when you have run out, when you have gone past the danger zone, when your pot's about to be destroyed, that is what you have to do as quickly as possible. Or that giant Ishbi who's got you cornered will take you. But there is another strategy that is more sustainable, and that is to make sure that you are constantly replenishing yourself. Don't let yourself get to the danger zone. Try not to let the teapot of your life ever get completely empty. Make sure you're refueling on a regular basis. We talked about those four areas. Physically, there are some things physically in your life that charge you up, that give you physical stamina and strength. But there are other things that tear you down. So you make sure that the course of your life leans towards doing things that physically move you forward. And you're sustaining yourself physically. And it's a balancing act between all four of these things at the same time. Emotionally, there are things in your life that you have to deal with. You must deal with the pain and brokenness of your past. Listen carefully. You must deal with the pain and brokenness of your past. If you do not, it will be a leak in the tank of your life for the rest of your life. Some of you have been beat up by the same giant over and over and over and over again in your life because of this one thing, because you are refusing to deal with the pain and brokenness of your past. And it is causing a leak to prevent you from ever being emotionally out of the danger zone. And so giants can have their way with you. Spiritual exhaustion can come because people do not apply the spiritual principles that they know. There is a difference between learning and knowing spiritual principles and truths and actually putting those truths into practice. Many people know a lot of spiritual truths, and the giants destroy them because they don't apply those same spiritual truths. There is a default that we have in American culture which is, hey, if I learn something more, if I know something, then I will be better. But the reality is, if you don't apply the things you already know, then knowing more won't make any difference. We must apply the spiritual principles and truths that we already know. And when you apply these on a regular basis, you are replenishing the tank of your life. You are finding yourself encouraged and refreshed on a regular basis. And fourth, of course, is relational. Some people fill you up, and some people drain you. There are people in your life that drain you that you need to be in relationship with. But you've got to make sure that that is put into balance by people that charge you up, people that fill you up. And so you can't have every day of your life only be around draining people. You must also have people that encourage you and take you to another level. In all of this journey, you need to pace yourself. You need to pace yourself. And there is a temptation to run faster than you ought to, because what we do is life or death. What we do has a life or death urgency to it. And there is a temptation to sacrifice more than you should. Now, it might seem strange to talk about pulling back on sacrifice, because our culture, one of the biggest challenges is they don't sacrifice anything. We should all be sacrificial in our service and in our giving. That's a given. But if you sacrifice too much too fast, if you sacrifice your physical and your spiritual and your emotional and your relational health to the point that your teapot is empty, then you will become weak and exhausted and unable to defend yourself. You must pace yourself, because you are in the race for the rest of your life. Not just for next week, not just for next year, but for the rest of your life. And you pace yourself. And when you become unable to defend yourself, the giant Ishbi-Benob will show up, ready to destroy every remaining good thing in your life. I want you to think about this moment on the battlefield. The great King David is at war. It's the thick of the battle. And there's this one man, only one man, that should not get anywhere near the king. It's like one of those movies where, you know, that guy's not supposed to get close to the other guy, but somehow he manages to get there. That's exactly what's happened. He breaks through the battle lines. He gets all the way to King David. He's got King David cornered. He's got a spear in his hand with a 7-pound end. And he's about to thrust it through the heart of King David. And I think to myself, how did he get so close? But watch what happens. Verse 17. But Abishai, who you haven't heard about yet, but Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue and killed the Philistine. That's all it says. It doesn't tell us exactly how. It doesn't give us the fancy thing about a slingshot and a stone. It just says, Abishai killed the Philistine. Just imagine the scene. Imagine the moment Abishai sees Ishbi getting ready to kill his king. You got the slow motion movie effect happening right now. And he starts to run towards the king and towards Ishbi. Just imagine this comparatively small warrior running towards them. Imagine he gets right to a point and he jumps through the air with a knife in his hand and he thrusts it into the giant just a millisecond before David is about to be killed. I'm like, whoo! I'm exhausted reading that. It was just too close. But listen carefully. Clearly, David was having a bad day. But because he had some giant killers around him, the giant came after him, but David was still covered. When you have some giant killers around you, and you have a bad day, they got your back. They got your back. Why? Because giant killers understand what giants are and what they do. And there is only one thing a giant killer does to a giant. Giant killers kill giants. So let me ask you a very serious question. Who you got around you? Seriously, who you got around you? Do you got giant killers around you? Or do you got like a crew of pansy people around you? Like people that spiritually can't hold their weight. People that can't back you up. People that'll feed you to your giant. You got giant killers around you or not? If you don't got any giant killers around you, change who you got around you. Go get some giant killers. If you're like, I don't know any giant killers, then leave everybody and go get some. Go find some. Go get a room full of giant killers and just invite yourself in. And they'll know why you're there. Do you have a spiritual man or woman around you that will kill the giant that you aren't able to get to on your own? I'm not kidding. Think about who you do life with. Do you have some giant killers in there? Maybe they're a novice giant killer. They're going to develop over time. That's fine. But get some giant killers in there. I have giant killers all around me. Think about our church staff, Pastor Joshua and Kristen and Tanisha and David and Emily and Juana and Danielle and Carolyn and Matt. I got giant killers around me. Or our church board, John Chevalier, John Hinkle, Heather Cahill, Donna Marama, Bobby Bishop. There are literally also dozens and dozens of you that I know have my back. You pray for me, you watch out for me, you cheer for me, you lift my arms when I am weak, you charge after the giants that we see together, and you take care of giants that I never saw to begin with. There are those of you that have been with us for the last 17, 18 years, and we have killed some giants together, and we are going to kill some more. Our small group leaders and ministry leaders, all of our ministry volunteers, all of you who sacrificially give, we have killed some giants together, and we will keep on killing some. We've done some pretty amazing things together. This past Sunday, we watched 30 different adults be baptized in water. It was kind of like watching 30 giants be killed right in front of us, one after the other, after the other, after the other. I'm telling you, people told me we couldn't do this. And we did something they said couldn't be done. We were David, and we killed Goliath. We are legendary. Because of the everlasting kindness of God, we have been victorious. Goliath is dead, but Ishbi is coming. So we need some Davids, and we need some Abishais. Got your back. We need to all be ferocious warriors. We need to understand who we are, the child of God, and we need to understand what we do. We kill giants. Until the day that I die, I intend to kill giants. And if somehow you thought you would only need to kill one giant in your life, it is time to move on from that foolish deception. The first giant simply prepares you to kill the next one. Goliath was just the warm-up act. Sometimes in life, you've got to be David with a slingshot and five smooth stones, killing your own giants. And other times, You need to be Abishai, flying through the air with an unsheathed knife, killing other giants. We all need to be both. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And as they come up, I want to say this to you. Fighting giants can get hard. It can get difficult. And sometimes after you killed Goliath, you feel so good about where you're at. And it's so much better than where you were that it's easy to settle. And you end up settling for partial victory instead of full victory. You don't have full victory until all your giants are dead. And until the giants of all those around you are dead. I want to encourage you as a church, do not settle for partial victory. Don't wound your giants. Kill them. Don't wound your giants. Kill them. Then cut off their heads. Then feed your giants to the birds. Don't toy with them. Don't nurse them back to health. Don't give them a place in your life. Why? We are believing for each and every one of you today for total and complete victory. We are believing for each and every one of you today for total and complete freedom. We are believing for each and every one of you today for total and complete wholeness. And that doesn't happen if we got some wounded giants hanging around. You kill every giant. Stand with me as we close. So I'm going to ask you three questions. Is there somebody in your life who has been cornered by a giant? And they are too weak and exhausted to fight any longer. If you have that person in your life, I want to challenge you and ask you, will you be Abishai to them? Will you be that crazy warrior that jumps through the air with the unsheathed knife and slices that giant dead on their behalf? We all have people in our life that need us to be this. Also, let me ask, I know that a lot of you came in here today with your teapot empty. Your tank has run out. You are exhausted. And today, let the Holy Spirit fill you to overflowing. Invite the Holy Spirit to fill you fresh. Let Him breathe life into you. Spend some time with the Holy Spirit. And there are others today. You've killed Goliath. But Ishbi is right on your tail. And you need to not settle for anything less than complete victory. And you need to get back to work. You need to get back to the fight. You need to get back into the battle and take care of business. Wherever you're at with that, let's respond today. The worship team's going to close us with a song. You can sing with us if you want. But for many of you, you need to spend some time in prayer today. You can come to the altar. You can kneel. You can stand. You can sing. You can pray. But let's just let this be a time of refreshing and commitment here this morning.
Father, thank you that You have all the time in the world for us to be refilled and replenished, refueled. You are always right there for us. I ask today that for each and every one, that you would refill them, refresh them, encourage them, breathe new life into them. Give them new courage. I ask today that you would help us to be attentive to the fact that there are times in life when you call us to be David and take out Goliath, and there are times in life when you call us to be Abishai and take out Ishbi. Help us to be willing to be both. God, today we join together in corporate agreement for total and complete victory, total and complete freedom, total and complete wholeness for each and every one. We know that we are your children. Help us to do what you have built us to do, to kill giants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. And God bless you all. Have a great day. Have a great day. Don't forget, September is coming. September is coming.